Today's episode of the Not That Great Podcast can be found where all your fine, fine podcasts are found. That's at Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, and Spotify. If you didn't listen last week and you're listening this week, welcome. But now you know that we are also on Spotify, so search Not That Great on Spotify. Also, follow us on the social medias. At Twitter and Instagram on Not That Great Pod or at Not That Great Pod. The website is there, notthatgreatpod.com. Hasn't been updated in a little while, but you know the episodes is what matters. So we'll keep pumping those out week by week. And if you could all do me a favor and suggest to Facebook that they let me change my page name from my given name to Not That Great, that would be great. So if you want to take the time, support the podcast, that'd be a great way to do it. Or just follow us at our social medias, like I said, at Not That Great Pod. Today on the show, Brian Goodwin back in the house after his disastrous July 2nd performance. Not actually disastrous, but I did make a little bit of fun of him about it. He was up on the lake in New Hampshire, having a good time with some friends and family, and took the time out to record with us, and the good times rolled, as you may have heard. But you know, otherwise today, much more lucid than that that recording. And I promised him I would make fun of him about it, and so I am right now. So you know, this is a time of year in sports where there's not a ton going on, not a lot of games on TV. So, you know, we're usually in the, area where there's MLB trade deadline and NBA free agency. And this year, of course, very interesting in NBA free agency, very interesting trade deadline, a couple of moves made in both of those arenas that we discussed. And then we talked some basketball, some All-Star game from the MLB. We did not talk about, the according to him, formerly racist, Brewers reliever, because we didn't feel that he needed space on this show, so we did not talk about him. I think it's pretty obvious how we both feel. Little SP talk, and then at the end, because we know that you don't really like it that much, a little WWE talk, as Cain Velasquez, former WWE, or former UFC heavyweight champion, rather, has reported to the training ground there in Florida, the WWE Performance Center. So what his ceiling was, we talked about that. We talked about, was the Home Run Derby rigged? Did Bryce Harper's dad cheat? No. It's the Home Run Derby. Is Mookie Betts better than Bryce Harper? I don't know. Some people seem to think so. We talk about it. I'm a little naive on the topic, but we talk about that and talk about lots of other things. And you'll hear those right now with Moose in the house. Let's get going.
Make it a double, I can take it another. Gets so hard to chase it, live up to. Yeah, it slides away when you're running. Like my Uncle David, who never lived to escape it. The trouble you were about to cave in. Give up to talking in your basement.
All right, Brian is hiding in a downtown dining room somewhere private at SIP, which is an unofficial sponsor of this podcast. So let's welcome in Brian Goodwin. And it's been a while since our comeback episode. You were here a little less lucid than you are now, and I didn't call you out on it for last week. But upon a re-listen of that show, this is going to have to be your official redo. And, you know, there's... For a week of the year where there's not much going on, there actually seems to be a lot going on. Not much going on as far as games on the field. But obviously, it's around the trade deadline for baseball. We're a week from that. We got, free agency still in basketball, ESPYs, but we'll talk about those. But obviously, the biggest thing right now is the Kawhi Leonard trade. And if we're going to just be nakedly obvious and just blatantly copy all of the pundit shows that we like to do from time to time, I'll just ask you straight up, Brian, who won that trade and why?
The Spurs won that trade. They got a protected, whatever that protected pick is. They got an upgrade over Danny Green, and they got a slightly less better of a player than Kawhi in DeRozan. I think, you know, and we'll see how this plays out, but I think DeRozan's tougher mentally and physically. And Toronto loses out on Kawhi next year. There's no chance he's signing back there. There's no chance. So if I'm a Toronto fan today, you know, after firing the coach of the year and making this deal and essentially stabbing DeRozan in the back, who's giving you nothing but five years of blood, sweat, and tears. It's got to be hard to be a Toronto fan today. It's got to be really difficult.
I think it's hard to be a Toronto fan most days. And
yeah,
you know, and so these are kind of smaller market teams, especially a team in Canada, you know, the loyalty of your fan base is clutch, right? Cuz it's not going to grow randomly by national exposure, because these guys never make runs very deep in the playoffs. And it's just, you know, it's a all home team. I don't know anyone who's born and raised in Los Angeles who likes Toronto. You know what I mean? So
yep.
You're dealing with a very, I'm not going to say they're temperamental, but I would say that their existence is probably at least minimally fragile. And to upset that apple cart is potentially devastating if you want to keep fans in the seats and watching, you know, games on television.
They're huge supporters. I mean, every time they show a picture of downtown Toronto during a playoff game, that place
it's packed. Mobbed. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So to potentially basically give a middle finger to that by trading, after telling him you weren't going to, trading the identity of that franchise for since Vince Carter left anyway, and replacing him with someone who, you know, if this goes as wrong as possible, will never play a game in a Raptors uniform. And so now you've got the number one seeded last year NBA Eastern Conference team with a trade that they are going to try to convince these fans that made them better. And it just doesn't. It simply does not. And we talked about on this podcast that the best way forward for Toronto was not to trade DeRozan or Lowry, but to keep them together and add to them. And this doesn't do that, obviously, you know, by mathematics. So I don't get it. I really don't understand.
Yeah, they've made some questionable decisions this offseason so far. And I don't see how you can look at that team and say they've improved.
Yeah. Did they also paid Ibaka, right? Is that what they just did too?
Yep.
I mean, dude. Mm-hmm. I like Serge Ibaka. I do, but
not for that kind of money.
I would have loved him. I would have loved him for a little less money. Him being added to this team, right? Where was he? He wasn't there last year, right? So I would have liked to, you know, seen maybe them add Ibaka and another kind of mid-level role player, just an improvement over the guys that they had there last year, or maybe a little more bench depth, right? But this, I mean, I don't get it. I think that I love that they're looking to add, you know, all-star players, but, you know, the idea is that you, like I said, you were at the top of the conference a year ago, and now, I mean, the East is starting to get really good, and I don't know
I can't believe that, you know, the centerpiece of this free agent trade offseason, Kawhi Leonard, gets traded to the East. And I don't see in any way how this hurts the Sixers, the Celtics.
It doesn't at all.
It doesn't hurt them.
It does
it's
not.
It's insane.
The most hurt team from this deal is Toronto.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And I've yet to see anyone say that this move is even mediocre for them.
Yeah.
Like it's like it depends or whatever. Everyone's there's all negative slants. You know what I mean? It's just I don't know, man. And now you know what? And this that Spurs team is better.
Yep.
I mean, if
yep, they are.
If he wasn't gonna play for them next year anyway, they're in a better position than they were previously. And maybe that's maybe the Spurs.
Yep.
The Spurs are being quiet on this, so is Pop. I mean, Pop's notoriously quiet, but he's, you know, time to move on. But they're running away from microphones. Like, they got the fleecing of the century in this deal. They got the, yep. the probably the most they could have gotten for Kawhi Leonard.
We'll see how protected that pick is. But, yeah, I mean, they pulled an Ainge on Toronto, to be honest.
Yeah, they really did. It's disappointing, man. Yeah, for because I, you know, it's, and we all know I'm a Celtics fan, but... You know, it's fun to have competition out there, and like,
sure, yeah.
You know, now you're looking at an almost certain Sixers, Celtics Eastern Conference Finals next year. There's no way, all things equal, if everyone stays unhurt. You know, we just telegraphed the Eastern Conference Finals next year. Mm-hmm. The West there's a little more intrigue because it's going to be the Warriors and who, you know what I mean? But like, I don't know. I like parity for the league. Even though I want the Celtics to win every year, but parity is good.
So let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Is this how the Ball family ends up in Toronto? Do we just literally, is Magic angling to ship them out of the country?
This is the beginning of the unofficial exile of the Ball family.
Oh, my God. Because right now, if, you know, if he's not gonna commit to playing after this year, if he's gonna play this year at all, they have to trade him for like a bag of farts right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, take Lonzo Ball, take the rest of his family, and take his father because that's all you're getting for him.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if he decides not to play and you got to pay him.
Yeah.
Right. So then they're like, you know what? I can't. There's just such a big chance that happened. I just don't understand. Why they would make this deal. This guy, you got a guy that says he wants to stay here and a guy that says, I don't want to be there. You trade for the guy, away the guy that wants to stay at a place that's really hard to get superstar players?
Really weird.
Unless only by hook or by crook, which is what this is by. I don't... So strange, dude. Really
very
weird.
Strange. Yep.
Really weird. But we'll see. I mean, like, I think next year that you'll still see... I think you'll see the Spurs, you know, make a little bit of a rebound. I think I like the core of that team, especially with DeRozan. I think DeRozan's a pro. I think DeRozan will play. You know what I mean? He's not going to try to force a trade. He didn't go to nowhere. I mean, he went to a high pedigree team. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's going to be easier to convince him to play.
The second he meets
Pop, right?
He's going to be all in. Yep.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. And Pop is going to have to really, 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 like, be his mentor. Type of thing to, you know, he's like, listen, man, I got 5 rings. How many you got up there? You know what I mean? Yep. I mean, oh, really? Yeah, oh, you had the coach of the year. Where's he now? He's in Detroit. You know what I mean? Like, I've been here for 20 fucking years.
I don't have a problem with this.
No, I don't either. I think more for him, it was more that he wanted to stay in Toronto, not that he didn't want to play for the Spurs. I think with Leonard, it's all, I want to play for the Lakers. Oh, shit, this is Toronto. This sucks. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think DeRozan's just happy to play basketball. Especially for a team that's a contending team. At least on the low end, I think. I think they're at 6, 7, 8 in there. So, you know. All right, let's move on to topic number 2. We got this little list here. Let's stay basketball. Let's switch our top 2. We'll stay basketball because we stay at home with this one. Just happened. It was like rumored yesterday. Just went official today. The Celtics do re-sign Smart. 4 years, 52. And I'm wondering, Brian, how you feel about... I mean, we both like Marcus Smart. I'm generally like... Mm-hmm. I think it's that what he had... What had been rumored for him to be paid was, I think, a little much. And I think that this is a little much. What do you think?
It is a little much, but it gives them insurance given the uncertain future of Irving and Rozier at the point guard position. So I think for that insurance alone, you pay a little extra for it. For his toughness alone, you pay a little extra for it. You're not monetarily screwing yourself with this deal at all. You had the money, so give it to the guy that leaves it all on the floor every night. I hope he shoots about 1,000 basketballs per day until the first day of the season this year, because, you know, he couldn't hit the freaking ocean with a basketball during the playoffs last year. So
yeah, at times when it was really struggling to watch them. It was tough to watch, like, you know, him coming up the court, Rozier on a cold streak, put Marcus Smart in. He's doing all the hustle plays and everything, but it's like, man, we really need a basket right now. And you would watch him put up these ill-advised shots, and it was just, that guy made $13 million. You know what I mean? Like, so, and I like you, like, and, you know, it's been said by you, it's been said by every single, you know, even our newly minted lead NBA analyst, Alex Brown. That, you know, the heart is, you know, I always said the heart is hard to quantify, especially monetarily, but, I mean, to have that on this team. And he is the heart of the team, I think. And he doesn't even start. And there's no, I don't see anyone in our starting lineup that's really, like, you know, especially because a couple of them are often injured, but, you know, Before Kyrie and Gordon got here, the, you know, free agent, essentially big guy on this team was Al Horford, and he is vanilla AF. So to see someone with some fire and, like, you know, determination on the team is good. But I just, like you said, I just wish he could just, I want him to average like 15 points for that money, not 10.
Well, and you know, who knows? He very well could. I mean, he's 24 years old. It's not like we're talking about a 32-year-old, you know, 12-year vet right now. You know, he's 24.
I'm not talking about J.R. Smith.
It's amazing that he's 24, to be honest, because it feels like he's been on this team forever.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, so, you know, he still has potential to be a 15-point per game player, I think.
I always remember like, back,
you know,
when
he improves that shot.
Yeah, I remember back when Rondo was our point guard, and that's what I was like, why doesn't he... Dude, Ray Allen's on this team. Why doesn't he practice shooting more?
Yeah.
And he was getting all those triple-doubles with, like, 10, 11, 12 points. And somehow he'd be doing double-digit rebounds, 15, 16 rebounds a game, and he's just, like, sliding under dude's legs and grabbing balls, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, but I was like, oh, man, why don't you put that effort, you know, 10% of that effort into developing a mid-range? And it just never happened. You know what I mean?
You know. Speak to the greatest shooter of all time. Just
seriously,
talk
just talk to him for a minute after practice. Hey, can we stay half an hour late today? Like, you know what I mean? You get that, and Pierce isn't a bad shooter either. Like, yeah, I mean, like, so.
Right.
That always baffled me. Let's go to baseball, and we're going to spend a little time on baseball as a whole because we need to. First thing we need to do is relitigate our MLB preview, which I did very poorly at. So we'll talk about the Red Sox and how they're doing amazingly for a team that I said wouldn't even make the playoffs. And then we'll talk about the Phillies, who are doing amazingly for a team that I said wouldn't even make the playoffs. And those are both my teams. You look like a fucking genius right now. Having the Phillies, the only thing that you were wrong about is that the Phillies would make the wild card too, but instead they're just leading the NL East by a half game right now over the Braves. Is it that?
Yep.
Is that division that bad, or are the Phillies that good? We'll start with them, and then we'll go to other teams. I think that the Phillies are actually that good in the NL.
I agree. And Gabe's got them playing hard.
Really
hard.
Remember
that
we started.
That Braves team isn't a bad team, and
now they're not.
Washington team is not a bad team. Like, and the Phillies are just kicking ass, and it's awesome. Every time I see the Phillies win, I'm like, oh, I picked them. Oh, great, I picked them to go to the playoffs. Great.
I remember that we did our preview 4 days late,
you
so we got to talk about. I did. But we got to talk about that first weekend that Gabe had, and how. Just enormously bad it was. And I think that he pulled the guy early. They lose the game. He pulled Nola early and they lose the game. And, you know, all of his, it was like, oh, let's just read. He's basically just doing it from the book, the Bucco analytics. You know what I mean?
Right.
And to see where they are now, you know, it's not like they're, you know, they're not in Red Sox territory, but, you know, they're 11 games over. There's not a credible threat in, at least in that division, I don't think. I think that both wild cards come from there. I don't think that, I now don't think that the Brewers can sustain, because I think that their bullpen is weak and a little racist. And then the Diamondbacks might power their way through, but I think it'll be really unfair to see the Phillies in a one-game playoff. I'd be, obviously, I'd watch that game with my heart coming through my chest, but
right.
But I mean, I still think out there that everyone's looking up at the Cubs, and now that we can do Machado first. Now that we're looking at Machado on the Dodgers, and the, I mean, the pretty penny they paid, but they could afford it because their farm system's deep. But I think now where everyone is really looking up at the Dodgers. So it's obviously Dodgers in the West, Cubs probably in the Central. It's a coin toss between Phillies and Braves in the East. One of those teams is probably going to play, I guess, the Diamondbacks for that wild card, in that wild card two situation. I don't remember what you picked.
I mean, it also could be the Washington and Braves could go on a run too.
I don't remember what you picked, but do you remember what you picked as far as everything in the East or in the NL? I'd have to dig it up. I don't know if I saved it.
I picked Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked the Phillies to... I definitely didn't pick the Braves. I picked the Phillies to become wild card two, and I think I picked Arizona as wild card one, the Dodgers in the West, and the Cubs in the Central. I'm pretty sure what I picked.
So you're having yourself a pretty decent,
not
pretty
too
decent,
shabby.
Yeah, not bad at all, man. If the Red Sox don't win the World Series this year, mm-hmm. how big of a failure is that on a scale from 8 to 10?
I don't think it's that big of a failure, given how good New York and the Astros have been as well.
Okay.
This is going to be a really fun three-team race to just see who gets to the end. These three teams right now that we're watching are just awesome. They're awesome to watch every time Price doesn't pitch.
Yeah.
If it comes down to David Price in a game where we have to either get into the playoffs or win the World Series or something like that, I might assassinate him before him.
I was going to say, I don't think I'm watching that game.
I don't think I can sit through that.
Yeah. I love the Indians. I love they have the clearest path for success as far as, but it really sucks that, you know, one of these teams, or actually not one, but four of these teams are not going to get into the divisional series. You know, Astros, Mariners, A's. Indians definitely win their division. And then it's Sox, Yankees. And, you know, the Angels are over 500 too. So, like, and I, by the way, did pick the Mariners at wild card one. So, but it's, you know, to have this much, you know, cream rising to the top, it's going to be really fun to watch down the stretch. And this is about when I start watching baseball, as you can tell by my general analysis, but...
And I'll tell you, the Sox are 9-1 versus the Orioles so far this year. They got 9 more games to play against them.
Oh, that's
and they just traded away their
best player.
Their best player. So and their closer is probably going to be out the door by the time the trade deadline comes up too. So,
what are you looking for if you're on the Red Sox or if you're a Red Sox fan, as I am? But again, I don't watch baseball until, you know, basically tomorrow usually. What are you looking for as far as a piece to really solidify going down the stretch? Not that anything needs solidification, but if there's something out there that we could have and just, you know, enhance, I generally feel like it's bullpen.
I would like another right-handed starter, to be honest with you.
All right.
Because, you know, say Pomerantz comes back from this injury and you stick him in your starting rotation, that's you got four lefties. Like,
yeah.
Erod, Price, Pomerantz, and
Sale.
What am I missing? Look at what the Yankees average. Just look at what the Yankees stats are against left-handed pitchers this year. It's disgusting.
Ooh, let me find it.
That scares me.
Okay. Let me see if I can find that.
And some relief help, but I do think once Thornburg gets settled, I think he's going to be a major addition and a major help.
Dude, you gonna get that phone or what, man?
Nope.
You on the clock?
I'm on the only phone I need right now.
No, thanks, buddy. You're a sweetheart. I cannot find this. It must be in the splits. I will not be editing this out, by the way, just so we all know.
Fantastic.
I don't have time to edit today. Yankees are... They're only batting .259 against lefties, but their OPS versus lefties is .836. So,
yeah,
I mean, they're slugging against lefties is .489. That's wild. So, yep. And they're doing obviously they're better against lefties and righties by minimal points mm-hmm. on each side, but the OPS is a staunch difference. 60 points higher. So there you go. All right.
Yep.
All-Star game. Let's start with the Derby. Which I thought was probably the best one in quite some time. As far as the format goes, I don't care who won necessarily, but it was, the time thing, just really, the countdown really, really adds, a level of excitement.
Some pressure. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And it, obviously came to fruition, this is MLB's, coming in their pants when, Harper's down 9 home runs and, there's 40 seconds left, and they're like, this is why we did this,
Well, but you have to just look at the field that they put out there for this All-Star game. I mean, definitely not the best they've ever had.
No, but none of them really, really shit the bed, though. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you would be, mm-hmm. you'd have these fields, and it's like, when it was untimed, and the dudes would go out there and hit 2 home runs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, well, it's a good thing. Good thing we put him out here. But then it's also like, it's not necessarily their fault when the guys who have that, the hitting too many home runs things ruins my second half, and these guys just, gets passed down and down and down and down and down. You know what I mean? To whoever, mm-hmm. okay, who can we ask mm-hmm. next? All right, who doesn't have double digit home runs? You know what I mean? Like, all right, let's get down and down and down. So this guy had a great year 2 years ago or whatever, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So, I mean, you had, and here's the thing too, is like you had nearly three household names, right, in this Derby. You had a couple of underdoggy guys in Muncy and Bregman. You got the up and comer in Hoskins, and then you got the guy no one's ever heard of, Aguilar. And obviously he went out in the first mm-hmm. round. But I don't think this could have gone any better for MLB. I think that other than Freeman going out in the first round, but Bryce Harper was a fucking, child of destiny. So
And then Bregman goes out the next night and wins the MVP.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So obviously,
I thought.
But yeah, and also the way that it works too is, when we look back at these scores for home run derbies, it doesn't, unless it was truly a blowout, it looks like each game was close. You know what I mean? Because in the timing thing, all you have to do is get one home run more than the next guy and you're done. So, as far as they're concerned, this Derby had, 5 1-point games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, it's really genius.
And they were good numbers too.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't 6-5. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Exactly.
We're looking at 13-12, 19-18. Mm-hmm. 19-18 was the final. So, how much credence do you lend to his dad was cheating nonsense, which tells you what I feel about it?
Absolute zero.
Thank you.
Who cares?
Yeah. I mean,
like, knock it off. It's a home run derby. Like, it's not giving you home field advantage in the World Series. Shut
yeah,
up.
But the integrity, though. What if the integrity of the home run derby?
Yeah, the format that they change every freaking 2 years?
Yeah, seriously. Oh, man. Well, yeah, we only have 2 years worth of integrity.
People wasting their time about his dad is just, find something else to do.
How much do you lend to the school of thought that it was Bryce Harper's weekend and he needed to have a big showing as the home guy for the stadium as to whether or not he gets the $400 million deal he's rumored to want? Because I don't think it matters at all.
I don't think it matters at all. I think somebody's paying him regardless. And 100%. stupidly paying him regardless.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Everyone has a down year. You know, I mean,
Mookie Betts is, if he hits 400, Mookie might hit 5.
You think Mookie's going to get a $500 million contract if he gets a if Harper gets a $400 million contract?
Mookie's a better player. If you look at the numbers, they back it up.
Oh, brother. Do I have time? Do I have time for this?
We probably don't.
Well, I don't think we do. This would be...
I mean, to be honest with you, Tomasi just wrote an article about it this weekend.
Yeah.
And he has all the numbers in the article. And it's pretty eye-popping.
So you're talking about... Is this article... Because I haven't read it. Are you talking about... Is it just career totals? Or is it through this point in their careers? Because Mookie's younger, right?
No, they're both the same age.
Shut up. Are you kidding?
Nope.
Did Harper come up earlier?
Yeah, Harper came up when he was 19.
That's what I thought. And how old's Mookie?
Yeah. He'll be 26 in October. One of them will be 26 in October. One of them will be 26 shortly thereafter, I believe.
All right, hold on a second. Let me look this thing up, because... And I'm all for Mookie Betts getting paid. I mean, and he's probably going to be AL MVP this year, but... let's see. Mookie Betts versus Bryce Harper.
Do you remember who my pick was for NL MVP?
Was it Hoskins? No.
No, it was Harper.
Was it Harper? He's not going to get it.
Yeah. That's tough. We'll see how his second half goes.
All right, so... Yeah, this is... Okay, I'm looking at this article. We all know Harper's going to receive a mega payday, blah, blah, blah. This is a Schoenfeld article from ESPN. And this is from May 9th. So this is early. He's got total WAR since 2015. Betts is better. Fangraphs WAR, 21.1 over 18.5. Betts is better. Harper Sports suggests that Betts is helped by a stronger lineup around him, helped by Fenway Park. Hits more home runs on the road, though. Hits way more doubles at home. What I definitely agree with this on is that Betts is a better defender.
Yep.
I don't know. I'd have to really have sat down with this to do it, you know, more than off the fly. But I can see the case being made, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure that your people who are signing checks necessarily would agree with their checks. You know what I'm saying?
I think when it's all said and done, by the time Mookie hits free agency, I think they'll be changing their tune a little bit.
Okay, all right, if you say so, man.
Mookie's not a free agent until 2021.
One more year, right? 21, two more years. Okay, so. It'll be interesting. I mean, I think that I don't think that anyone cares about Harper's off year. You know, I think that there are other reasons why he's not doing so hot this year, and the shifts thing is one. And but you know, people just learn how to play. You're that good. You know, that's a response to how good you are. They're not shifting for everybody on that team.
Yeah, start using the other field, bro. There's a whole half of the side of the baseball field you don't use.
They're begging you to go that way. You know what I mean? That's basically what it is.
Which Mookie does, by the way. Just so you know.
No, I know that, obviously. where, as far as this, that's a good segue. Where do you fall on this legislating shifts out of the game? I think it's horse shit.
Oh, it's part of the game.
Yeah, I got 9 guys out here. I'll put them wherever the hell I want.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And there's no rules telling me I can't.
I don't understand how we never, you know, if you're playing against Ortiz, you know, you should even have a second baseman. You should just everyone should be between second base and first base and let him drop his occasional once a year bunt down the third baseline. You know what? You got us on that one. You're not doing it every time. We'll play the shift again next time.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, he did a really good job of changing his
swing.
You know, when they threw the shift on him, he did a really good job of going the other way.
You're right, he did. And put like Harper doesn't have that capability unless he needs to develop it, but he doesn't have it now. He's Deadpool. Like he yeah.
Yeah.
So, but to write that into the rules of baseball is absolutely foolish.
That would be horrible.
And I can't believe that someone suggested it, if I'm being totally honest.
This is the first I've heard of it, and that's my initial reaction is horseshit.
It was on PTI the other day, and Tony and Mike asked Rob Manfred about it, and, you know, every commissioner is a politician, so they're not going to give you a straight-up answer. So I can't really, I legit couldn't tell you which way, I don't remember which way Manfred came down on it, but if they're going to spout all this shit about integrity of the game and, you know, it's unfair that one of our game's biggest stars is having an off year because he doesn't feel the need to open his game up enough to be able to defeat things that they're doing against him. I mean, if you're like,
then he's not one of your biggest stars.
Right. Yeah. If R.A. Dickey can have the year he had 5 years ago, just because dudes can't hit the knuckleball, you're going to legislate the knuckleball out? You know? He wasn't very good at pitching, so he learned the knuckleball, and now he's amazing. So you're not very good at hitting this year, or he was amazing for a year. So you're not very good this year at hitting, because everyone's playing you on one side of the field. Hit the ball to the fucking other side.
Yep.
It's not rocket science.
Yep.
Topic number five. The ESPYs, which I did not watch, except for a part of Danica Patrick's monologue, which, and I texted the group last night, I said that Danica Patrick has really poor comedic diction and timing, but the joke is written hilariously about LeBron being the newest Los Angeles transplant, and that's what he Googles when he needs more hair, and then it was just hysterical, and then she goes, I forget what she said. Something about, when he hosted, he made fun of her, so we're even. Or I guess J.R. Smith would say we're up one, which is also hysterical. Hysterical. Right.
That's good stuff. But other than that, I did not. So poorly.
Yes. So other than that, I did not watch the ESPYs. Did you watch them in their entirety, or did you see little bits?
No, I just had them on at the bar, and I really didn't watch too much.
Okay.
Something I did watch, which I make a point to every year, is the Jimmy V Award and the Arthur Ashe Award for Courage. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Jim Kelly and the Larry Nassar victims that were both respectively awarded those awards, I thought they were the right picks. And Jim Kelly's a damn inspiration, and so are all the victims. Those girls are absolutely incredible for what they're doing right now. And I want to read a quote from, and I think this is the most powerful quote that came out of the ESPYs last night, from Sterling Reifman. She is one of the Larry Nassar victims. She said, "If we have to walk through this journey so that no other little girl has to, then that's exactly what we're going to do." Mm. And that just, you know, as a dad to a woman now, it pulls at my heartstrings, and what they're doing is incredible.
I fully agree with that.
That's what I took away from the ESPYs.
All right. The ESPYs generally get more, you know, credit for stuff like this. And the whole, like, week of ESPYs programming kind of, you know, because it's a week with not really a lot of sports. So ESPN is chock full of the My Wish stuff and, you know, that you know ahead of time who's going to win the Ash Award and the Jimmy V Award. And those are always really powerful moments to watch. And I'm not going to lie, I generally don't watch them, you know, live, but I do watch them later. So I'll have to watch those later. A slight nod to our other guilty pleasure that the Humanitarian League of the Year ESPY went to the WWE for their work with Make-A-Wish the night before, not televised. So, but yeah, I like I said, the ESPYs are mostly for stuff like that, in my opinion. I do not go to the ESPYs for my actual sports awardings. Do you?
There was one stunning award that I thought, and only because, not that he doesn't deserve it, that ESPN actually gave it to him, because ESPN, you know, there's no secret, ESPN gets so much money and pumps so much money into NBA and NFL and LeBron James, and MLB. Right, yeah.
And they gave the award to Ovechkin.
And they gave the best male athlete to Ovechkin, which I thought was shocking.
The ESPYs aren't full fan vote, right? There's partial fan vote.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it, to be honest with you. Like I said, I've never really looked into it because I don't really care about the award itself.
Right. I can't imagine that Washington, D.C. stood up so much to vote 100% for Alex Ovechkin.
For Ovechkin, right. Right.
So,
which again, great year, great player, you know, everything he's worked for over his career, like, you know, culminated with him winning the Stanley Cup, and to get this for ESPN to give an NHL player that award was just shocking.
After they've basically ignored the NHL since, was it the late 90s, maybe early 2000s, since, you know, there used to be NHL games on ESPN all the time, you know?
Yep.
Let's go into our last topic, and we have 7.5 minutes left here, and we could talk a little bit about the league surrounding it, because we like to do it at the end of podcasts so that people actually listen, and now they know they can turn it off. former UFC heavyweight champion Cain Velasquez spotted on WWE television last night, or taped last night for next week's NXT, which is a question I'm going to ask you about in just a moment, but and then has reported to the Performance Center in NXT down in Florida. I don't know how intrigued I am by his signings particularly. How do you feel about him and his potential to be on the WWE roster one day, maybe?
Since I literally read it right before you called me.
Yeah.
And, like, thinking back, I've always enjoyed Cain Velasquez. He's kind of just... I don't think he's very smart, so I think he just kind of doesn't speak very much, on national television. But, mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's enormous. And I think, I mean, like, he's a prototypical WWE... Vince's prototypical, if you will. You know what I mean?
Muscular guy, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, if, you know, any media that they get about, you know, mainstream stars wanting to go there and perform there, I don't think is ever a bad thing.
I agree.
What he does with it is what he does with it. But like you're starting to see more and more people come out, you know, especially UFC fighters, because it's a natural transition. But coming out and saying, yeah, you know, I'd go there when my fighting career is done, or like, you know, somebody like Gronk saying, you know, I'd go there when my football career is over. I don't think any of that's a bad thing.
No, I agree. I think that that, you know, the best way for the WWE to start to gain more of this kind of mainstream, you know, acceptance is, one, that, you know, legitimate athletes from other sports come in and be legitimate in within their division, and two, that they have these kind of you know, television deals that they're signing now, you know, SmackDown for $1 billion on Fox television, not on Fox Sports 1 or 2, like, or on like regional CSNs or something like that. So, you know, I'm all for it. I don't think that Cain Velasquez is going to be like the guy at any point. I think it, you know, if I could really map out his career, its entirety, it would probably be some time in NXT, maybe a cup of coffee at the WWE, at the main roster. He doesn't have the crutch of being able to go to 205 Live. So it's either NXT main roster or bust. So I don't know. I think that, I also think that, and I know that that it's not what it means, but it is associated by some people that the brown pride tattoo on his chest might serve some issues with his family friendly, WWE. So
that could pose a problem
slightly. Yeah. Especially with, you know, how Vince is usually so, so great to brown people. So,
so he's definitely wearing a t-shirt.
Yep. 100%. He's going to wear, he's going to wear the Roman Reigns flak jacket, the entire time. Quickly, 3 minutes left. We got Lesnar and, this is the angle that I most want to talk to you about after watching Extreme Rules and Raw and SmackDown. Lashley beats Reigns at Extreme Rules, so Reigns is fully out of the picture, you would think, right? Hasn't won a match at a pay-per-view in months. Then you assume that he would be the number one contender for Brock Lesnar's Universal title. Next night, we have this rigmarole. We scrap all that, and now we're doing this again. Do you think the WWE, for real, is going to have Reigns win this match on Monday and go on to wrestle to wrestle Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam for the title again?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, dude, it hurts.
As much as it hurts. I know.
It hurts.
I'm so over it.
Do you know how much I hate Roman Reigns? Like, my wife loves Reigns, and she hates wrestling. So, like, I can't even, in my own home, I can't begin to explain to her what he is doing or what they are doing with him to this, to the WWE.
Yeah. The horse has been dead for, like, 3 years, and they just keep beating it.
And there's no way to save him at this point. There isn't. They've done everything they can possibly do. They had him win the Rumble. They reunited the Shield.
They had the Rock come out.
They brought the Rock for him, and it's just like it doesn't make sense.
They kept Lesnar off TV and played this whole angle of Lesnar not caring and not showing up unless the money's right, and get people to hate him. And that's
still not working.
No, I guess we won't know if that works until
they'll just boo them both. You know what I mean? It's not going to be
it'll be like Lesnar Goldberg at WrestleMania.
Yeah, they'll just boo them both. Done and done.
Yep. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? So we don't have to worry about that's not going to set up anything good for them. Yeah, me too. Absolutely would. All right, buddy. I think we're good. I think we covered a lot of stuff, and I think I'm going to let you go. Brian Goodwin. Thanks, brother.
It's been a pleasure.
It always is. All right, boss. Sidewalk naked, I put it on my mama's favorite. I'm putting all my savings up. They tell us we're not gonna make it. It's getting so hard just to make rent. If we don't know what to say, we gon' make it up. But all